Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Wedding Crasher and the Cowboy by Robin Beelman. Narrated by Reagan West. Chapter 1. 5 days until the wedding. Rookie mistake number 2 for crashing a wedding, allowing an official guest to take her picture. Too late, Kennedy realized, she'd just handed over evidence of her presence. With a thumbs up and an overly wide smile to boot, because why not really stick out among the more common cool attendees? Mistake number 1, losing track of her co-conspirator. Her best friend handled mischief much better than she did. He blended into any situation with confidence and ease. Case in point, there he stood across the beautifully decorated outdoor welcome brunch, talking to the man of honor without a care in the world. Andrew did incognito like Tom Brady threw a football, effortlessly. She, on the other hand, lingered at the periphery of the event, awkwardly trying to appear casual and hoping to get the groom alone for an urgent conversation. Much to her dismay, the groom and his bride-to-be hadn't arrived yet. At least 50 other people mingled around the backyard of the 3-story inn, talking, laughing, and filling their plates with food. There was a donut cake. Of course there was. The groom loved glazed donuts, as did she. The inn and ranch stood on acres of land, and a tall, decorative fence surrounded this particular grassy area. To keep the ranch's animals at bay, she'd overheard someone say. She smiled to herself. She'd accidentally met one of those animals yesterday. White tables and chairs, ocean blue umbrellas, flower arrangements inside mason jars and small shrubs in burlap bags tied with white silk ribbons painted a beautiful picture personifying the sea meets the trees image that made this particular Northern California ranch unique. The bride loved the ocean, and the groom loved the forest and mountains, and they'd found the perfect destination to offer both. This morning, a cloudless sky kept Kennedy's sunglasses on her face, while a slight breeze carried the scent of salty air and pine, and kept the summer day at a comfortable temperature. She walked along the fence line toward the mimosa bar. A drink ought to help her blend in. Standing by herself like a fish out of water was no way to get in the wedding spirit. She poured equal parts orange juice and champagne into a glass flute and added a splash of pineapple juice. "Cheers," an older woman beside her said. "Cheers," Kennedy answered, clinking glasses and blowing out a small sigh of relief. That went well. Drink in hand, she found a quiet spot to stand beside the fence, with a clear view of the deck and steps that led down to the first of many pre-wedding gatherings. From this position, she'd for sure see the groom's arrival. Hopefully sooner rather than later, because she was positive she had "wedding crasher" written all over her face.
"Gotcha."
Ugh, that deep, masculine voice belonged to her least favorite person, and startled her into choking down her sip of citrus bubbly. She turned around to find Maverick on the other side of the fence, a cowboy hat on his head, his blue eyes pinned to her with a sparkle that annoyed as much as it galvanized. "Not too hard to do," she told him, "since I'm not trying to hide." Not really. He stood above the top of the fence and looked down at her with a mix of interest and displeasure.
"Then what are you doing?" he asked.
The gentle wind carried his scent to her nose, and the combo of man and soap upped his rugged appearance beyond fairness. She twitched her nose to try to get rid of it.
"Brunching, obviously. What are you doing?"
He couldn't see her eyes through her sunglasses, but they were narrowed at him anyway. He chuckled.
"What's so funny?"
"I like your shades, but you get a little crease in your forehead when you frown at me."
She instantly relaxed her face.
"It's such a common occurrence. Of course you'd notice."
I'm pretty sure I should be the one giving you a dirty look.
He took quick stock of the event behind her.
Given that you haven't been invited to this wedding.
Shh! At his raised eyebrows, she reluctantly added, Please. So began a staring contest, just like they used to do in college when they'd each stand their ground, unwilling to see the other's point of view. Only this time, Maverick held all the power. Damn him. A bell tinkled. Someone declared, They're here! And a ripple of excitement stole over the celebration. Kennedy spun around to watch the engaged couple join their family and friends. The bride-to-be wore a shimmery aquamarine shift dress, while the groom-to-be wore a Stetson with his khaki pants and collared shirt.
Huh. She had no idea he had a bit of cowboy in him.
Glancing over her shoulder at Maverick, she could admit that he wore the hat 100 times better. Not that she liked it or anything.
Remember what I said, Shortcake?
His tone, while friendly, brokered no compromise.
Grrr.
If Maverick called her that one more time, she'd put cow dung in his boots. Or itching powder in his boxer briefs. Not that she knew what he wore under his Wranglers. Or better yet, beat him at his own game. Cause him a little bit of trouble. Guests tapped their forks and spoons to their glassware and chanted, Kiss! Kiss! The smiling couple obliged, the groom dipping his bride for a dramatic lip lock. Family and friends cheered and whistled. Kennedy stayed quiet. The kiss ended with Reed plopping his cowboy hat on his future wife's head. Then, from across the bright green lawn, his gaze collided with hers. He shook his head. Not enough to draw attention, but enough to say, Not now. She tried to use telepathic communication to ask, When? But his focus turned to someone else.
They look happy to me,
Maverick said from over her shoulder. Oh, are you still here? She twisted back around. Big mistake. He'd folded his arms on top of the fence, his tanned, sinewy forearms on display in a relaxed pose. His easygoing composure did not help her novice wedding crashing skills.
I'm here all week,
he reminded her, a lilt to his voice indicating he had the leg up on their little cat-and-mouse game. She might be on his ranch, but she never gave up on a goal she set for herself. Kennedy looked beyond his wide shoulders toward the mountains and reminded herself of the rules of wedding crashing that she and Andrew had discussed this morning. One, act the part. Not much of a stretch, since she did honestly know the groom. So she lacked an actual physical invitation. At 5'0", it wasn't like she took up much room. Two, hang with the crowd. Okay, she needed more practice at that. Standing at the fence line with Maverick might look suspicious. Three, have a backstory ready. Andrew was playing the part of her boyfriend, and they'd faked it before, so it should be easy as long as he stuck to the plan. Plus, she and Reed were doctor friends and had plenty of history. Four, pay attention to the staff and security. Maverick could be considered both, since ownership meant wearing many different hats. He knew she didn't belong here, but he didn't know the profound impact she might have on the event. And best to keep it that way, which made her feel awful, but necessity trumped honesty in this situation.
You're thinking really hard over there.
Maverick's voice brought her focus back to him.
Don't hurt yourself,
he teased. She smiled up at him. Worried?
Hardly.
I should get back to my party.
Or I could call the police and have you arrested for trespassing.
She huffed out a breath. You wouldn't dare. He lifted his arms off the fence and tipped his cowboy hat in a show of brawn and authority.
You know the deal, Shortcake. No funny business.
With that, he turned and walked away, leaving her to fume. How had she landed herself in this much hot water so darn soon? Chapter 2. 2 days earlier. The man on the computer screen had salt-and-pepper hair and Paul Newman eyes. And for the past 15 minutes, he'd made Kennedy Martin's palm sweat.
"Why emergency room medicine?" he asked.
Finally, a question she had a quick and easy answer for. Make that two answers. She ran her hands along the bottom of her crisp white collared shirt. It was the only material available since she wasn't wearing any pants. Comfort was key with big interviews, and since she was visible only from the chest up, she'd opted out of clothing her lower body. Not her best decision, however, given her sweaty palms. "The first reason is, there's never a dull moment. A man once came into the emergency room via ambulance with burns on his lower extremities. His tennis shoes were charred and the bottoms of his jeans were burned away, but thankfully his skin wasn't too bad. He'd been in his backyard using a propane weed burner, and things got out of control. I smelled alcohol on his breath and asked him if he'd been drinking, and he said, 'No, ma'am.' I was practically tipsy just from standing next to him. So I looked him straight in the eye and, as professionally as possible, said, 'Sir, you are a liar, liar, pants on fire.' The paramedic standing beside me cracked up, and the man was so drunk, he did too." Dr. Weaver, chief physician at the most respected hospital in Boston, laughed. "Excellent." She wanted this job more than anything. Needed it. A new start, a different big city. She'd miss Los Angeles, but an opportunity like this didn't come along very often.
"A sense of humor is always good," he said.
"The second reason is more personal. When I was 14, an emergency room doctor saved my life. Long story short, scar tissue from a surgery I had as a newborn broke off and triggered a bowel obstruction. No one could figure out why I was in pain since things seemed generally fine, until they weren't, and I went into sudden heart failure. An ER resident discovered I was crashing and alerted the attending minutes before I would have passed out. They rushed me into surgery just in time to save me. I was really scared, and the ER doctor, in particular, made me feel like everything was going to be okay. When there was a complication after the surgery," Kennedy closed her eyes for a moment and took a breath. "I remember picturing Dr. Hawkins's overconfident expression and hearing him say, 'I was strong and had my whole life ahead of me, and that made me fight to survive.' Once I recovered, I knew I wanted to give that same hope and assurance to people facing medical emergencies." Dr. Weaver nodded from behind his desk. He jotted something down on a notepad before glancing at the thick black watch on his wrist.
"Having been through something like that definitely gives you a special perspective."
"It does."
"Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
"Running an emergency room," she said without hesitation. She almost said, "running your emergency room," but didn't want to be presumptuous.
"Is that all?"
She took a second to study him. Was he asking about her personal life? Was he a family man, a proponent of a strong work-life balance? "I'd like to get married and have kids, but there's no guarantee on love." She pressed down on her knee to stop it from bouncing. After what happened with her ex, the mere mention of the L word still made her twitchy. He gave a brief nod, in commiseration or dismissal, she wasn't sure, and she hoped she hadn't given the wrong answer.
"It was a pleasure speaking with you, Miss Martin. I'll be in touch within a week if we'd like you to fly out for a final interview."
"Thank you very much for your time and consideration, Dr. Weaver. I sincerely appreciate it and hope to hear from you."
"Take care,"
he said and ended the video chat. Kennedy closed her laptop and relaxed in her chair, relieved to be done with her second interview. If she got that third, in-person invitation, she'd be another step closer to her dream job. She played their conversation over and over again in her mind as she stared out her bedroom window. A lone cloud in the August sky, shaped like an anchor, gave her hope. She wasn't about to sink. Not yet, anyway.
Ned! Ava called out, arriving inside Kennedy's room like a tornado and plopping down on the bed.
I can't take it anymore!
Kennedy stood and dropped next to her younger sister on the white comforter. They lay shoulder to shoulder on the queen-size bed, being close, their preferred position.
It being homework, duh. I hate summer school. Why did I think this was a good idea?
You didn't. Mom and Dad did.
Oh, right. The broken parental unit who decided to band together and force their youngest daughter to take classes so I graduate on time.
Kennedy thought about the extensive med school loans she'd be paying off for the next gazillion years.
It might suck now, but you'll be glad later.
I need you to save me.
Ava rolled onto her side, propping her head in her hand.
Can we get Pad Thai and watch a movie?
The number of times Kennedy had saved her sister were too many to count, but that was okay. Saving people, literally and figuratively, kept her heart and head in a happy place.
Sounds good.
Yay!
Thank you.
Want to go pick it up now? I missed lunch. Ava glanced down at Kennedy's body, her brows knitting in confusion.
Did you just do an interview without any pants on?
Oh my God, you're my hero. That is totally badass and awesome.
That's me, an awesome badass.
And how rude of me not to ask how it went. No worries. And I think it went well. Ava jumped to her feet.
That's great! Can I borrow your black baby tea I love so much?
She didn't wait for an answer, instead ransacking the top drawer of Kennedy's dresser like a dog looking for a bone.
What's wrong with yours?
She asked, scooting to the foot of the bed. Ava had the same ruffle-edged tee in white.
It's in the laundry.
Found it!
Ava waved the shirt in the air and turned around.
Thank you. I'll be ready in 10.
Kennedy smiled as she watched her sister skip out of the room. Why Ava needed to wear that shirt to walk down the block to pick up food to bring back to their apartment, Kennedy didn't know. She swapped her interview blouse for a soft crewneck t-shirt, then pulled on a pair of drawstring linen pants. And because she always liked to add a few inches to her slight 5-foot stature, she slipped her feet into her favorite black strappy 4-inch sandals. Being taller gave her an extra boost of confidence. People always thought she was years younger than she actually was, which, in medicine, didn't really do her any favors.
I'm ready. You ready?
She called out from the living room a few minutes later. Glancing around the room, Kennedy saw Ava had textbooks and college-ruled notebooks strewn all over the coffee table and couch. Despite her protests, her sister loved school and really wasn't that sad to be taking up some of her summer before her senior year at UCLA on women's studies and global health care.
Ready!
Ava flounced into the room with a giant grin. She looked adorable in a pair of beige capri pants and the ruffled tee. Her hair, a shade darker than Kennedy's blonde, hung in waves around her shoulders. They linked arms and left their apartment.
I don't know what I'd do without you, Ned. Thanks for letting me move in with you this year and for taking such good care of me.
I'm happy to.
But you know, I know. If you get the job in Boston, I'll be without you.
Which, for the record, will suck immensely. But I hope you get the position anyway.
Thanks, kiddo.
Please do not call me that while we're out. It's bad enough I still get carded for R-rated movies.
I still get carded for R-rated movies, Kennedy admitted.
The curse of Martin genetics. Speaking of, have you talked to Mom or Dad lately?
No.
Dad was away on business, and I haven't connected with him since he's been back, and Mom is busy with wedding planning. Ava squeezed her arm. Wow, I think that's the first time you've mentioned the wedding so nonchalantly. I guess enough time has passed that I'm not as affected as I used to be. The wedding being their middle sister Victoria's. That's good. Very good. Now, let's talk only about happy things for the rest of the night, deal? Only the two of them, thick as thieves since they were young, thought their sister's upcoming wedding lacked a happy occasion vibe. Although, given the circumstances, Kennedy was sure a poll of strangers would agree she had every right to be upset. Deal. They had a great time eating pad thai on the couch and watching 27 Dresses for the umpteenth time. Afterward, they talked and giggled about everything and nothing until they repeatedly caught yawns from each other. Good night, Kennedy said, heading to her bedroom. Sleep tight, Ava said, walking to hers. Don't let the bed bugs bite, they said in unison. Kennedy washed her face, brushed her teeth, and slipped on her comfiest nightgown. Crawling under the cool covers, she gave silent thanks for Ava. They might be 8 years apart in age, but they always looked out for each other. Right in the middle of a fantastic dream starring Anthony Mackie, who was just about to unzip his Captain America uniform, a phone rang. It took her a fuzzy second to recognize it wasn't dreamy Anthony's phone, but one actually near her ear. She sighed and reached for her cell on the nightstand with one eye half open to see the screen. Reed. She closed her eye and rolled over. She and her ex-boyfriend had remained good friends over the years, but that didn't mean he could wake her up at 1:07 in the morning. They definitely didn't have that kind of a relationship anymore. The phone slipped from her fingers as she tucked her hands under her pillow and hoped she would fall back asleep. After a moment of wonderful silence, the phone rang again. Because there was always the weird chance her best friend or someone in her family had an emergency at the exact same time she'd been woken by another call, she looked at the phone. Still her ex. Maybe he had an emergency. She bolted up, phone to her ear. Hello? Kennedy, Reed greeted slash slurred. She slouched, elbows on her thighs. Not a crisis, just a drunk dial. Hi, Reed. How are you? The last time they'd talked rather than texted had been 3 weeks ago. His engagement to Elle, a woman she'd seen pictures of but never met, had reshaped their close relationship, as happened with major life changes.
I don't know, he said.
Not exactly the answer she wanted to hear.
Where are you?
Music and voices blared in the background, suggesting a bar.
Bachelor party?
Your bachelor party?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Go find your brother and tell him it's time to go home.
Not at home. In a wind song?
What? Reed, where are you? He must mean Windsong, the small town where he was getting married. His entire family was flying in from Baltimore for the big day. The background noise ceased, followed by the sound of running water? Reed sighed in contentment. Oh no, he did not take her into the bathroom with him.
Ew, Reed.
Sorry,
he said, at least having the decency to sound contrite.
For a lot of things.
She had no idea what that meant. They were good. They'd dated forever ago and come out as far better friends than lovers.
Okay.
If he needed someone to just listen, though, she could do that. She put the phone on speaker, gathered her hair to tie up in a knot on top of her head, and closed her eyes.
Weddings in 7 days?
He said. It sounded like a question, even though she knew it wasn't. Saturday, August 14th, in the evening, a week-long destination wedding on a ranch up north. That's what Reed had told her, along with apologies for not inviting her because, one, they were keeping it fairly small, and two, his fiancée wasn't all that comfortable with it. Kennedy was bummed she wouldn't get to share in his special day, but hadn't let on. Her sister's upcoming wedding supplied more than enough drama.
Yes, Kennedy said, covering a yawn with her hand.
Not sure it's a good idea, he said softly.
What are you talking about?
I don't want to get married.
Kennedy brought the phone back to her ear. You don't want to get married? She asked gently. She didn't know Elle, but Reed had only great things to say about her. Did something happen between you two?
It's too late, he slurred.
No. It wasn't too late, but it's normal to feel nervous, you know. Are your feet cold? She joked, hoping he'd laugh and tell her that's all this was. The sounds of a busy bar punctured their silence before a guy said,
Dude, get back out here. We can't celebrate without the man of the hour.
Wish you were here, Reed said.
Is that Elle again?
The guy asked.
Tell her I've got you, bro.
One sec,
Reed said, and Kennedy pictured him holding up his finger. The background noise ceased, the only sound a deep breath from her friend.
I gotta go. Sorry to bother you.
You didn't bother me, Reed.
It's okay. Forget it, I called.
But Reed... He disconnected, leaving her with unanswered questions that made her heart pound and her mind race with worry. She called him right back. He didn't pick up. She tried again. No luck. An uneasy knot lodged in her stomach. Did Reed have cold feet, or was it something more? In med school, he'd dated a lot, gaining a reputation as fickle. So when he got engaged, Kennedy knew Elle had to be special. They'd been together less than a year. Had his feelings suddenly changed so drastically that he didn't want to get married at all now? She lay back and stared up at the ceiling. Reed was one of the few people she could count on for anything, and who she'd drop everything for in return. Spending 4 years of medical school and 3 years of residency together, they had each other's backs. Blinking repeatedly, she recalled the time he'd saved her from an addict who pulled a knife on her in the ER. Reed's arm took the brunt of the weapon and required stitches to repair. Then there were her mom and dad. They'd divorced during her teenage years, and the repercussions had been painful. Still were, since her parents barely tolerated each other. While there were never any guarantees in marriage, she hated the idea of divorce possibly happening to Reed. His parents had been happily married forever, so he had no idea what divorce did to a person, let alone a family. Which meant if he had doubts about marrying Elle, she owed it to him to talk this through before it was too late. She could help him see he had found the woman of his dreams, the glaze to his donut.
Wish you were here.
Lucky for him, she could make that happen. Chapter 3. 6 days until the wedding. Maverick Owens hefted another bale of hay off the back of his pickup. The stack inside the barn tilted slightly to the right, enough so that Magnolia poked her head through her stall and touched her nose to the golden straw. She did it to nudge the stack back into alignment. Swear to God, his horse was a genius. She had a treat coming her way in thanks. He continued to unload, and when he got to the last bale, that's when his younger brother, Hunter, showed up. Some might say that meant his brother was also a genius. Maverick liked to call him lots of other names instead. Troublemaker, nuisance, mini-me. Completely out of love, mind you.
Need any help?
Hunter asked. Maverick didn't bother answering. Instead, he gave him a look that said,
What do you think,
dumbass. Hunter let the look roll off his shoulders as usual and seated himself on the edge of the open tailgate. Great. He wanted to talk.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?